And now on Nights with Steve Price, it's time for Health Matters. Thanks to Sydney Adventist Hospital. Healthcare, education, research, yours for life.
Yes, indeed. And today, well, tomorrow actually, it's World Delirium Awareness Day, which I didn't know there was a day for World Delirium Awareness, but apparently there is, as the condition is apparently one of the most common complications of hospitalisation. We have an expert in the studio with us. Marlita Fong is a cognitive care specialist at our friends the SANS, Sydney Adventist Hospital. She's in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
World Delirium Awareness Day. It seems like an odd day to have an awareness day for. Can you explain it?
It's actually the third time they've had it. But the importance of it is the complications from delirium or acute confusion can result in even death. But there's many complications. Longer hospital stay, decreased ability to take care of yourself, needing to go into a care facility instead of home. So it's something you really don't want to get.
Delirium sounds like a term from the 1920s or 30s. I mean, it does sound very back in the past, but clearly it's still very common.
Very prevalent. In fact, the majority of patients coming into hospital, or a good percentage, they come in with delirium already as part of being
sick. Because they're anxious and nervous?
Not exactly. Delirium is caused by, well, they don't exactly know how it happens, but when you have an underlying medical illness, and the older you are, and if you have a cognitive impairment pre-existing, you are at risk of having delirium develop if you're unwell.
How does it impact? What does it do?
So how is it impacting a patient? It can look like there's a couple of different types of delirium. So it can present as hyper alert. So that's the patient who's calling out, trying to climb out of bed. I want the police. I feel like I'm being restrained against my will. Suspicious of what the staff are doing, paranoid. Or you can have the hypoalert patient. So they might be drowsy, sleeping way too much than they normally would. And that's both causes for concern.
You're a specialist in this area. Can you pick it pretty quickly that it's going to happen to someone?
You can pick it that someone is definitely at risk, and you can definitely pick it when you see it. However, having said that, it is hard to pick, especially if the patient has a known cognitive impairment. It can get pushed under the carpet and said, oh, it's just there, say, dementia, when in actual fact, it's something to be concerned about, something that needs to be investigated and taken care of.
How do you manage it?
Sure. So if you were to notice, for example, that your mom or your dad is not their normal self, and that's a key word to use, not their normal self, you need to be concerned, whether you're in hospital or at home, because that needs to see medical attention. So we take care of it by...
Let me stop you there. How would you describe not your normal self? I mean, you know your parents pretty well, clearly, or an older relative. And are we talking this mainly among older people?
Yes, we are.
So you'd know their normal behaviour. So how would you describe abnormal behaviour?
All right. So, for example, if my dad didn't want to water the plants in the morning, I'd think something's wrong with him because he does it every day. Breaking of habits, out of routine, not their normal self. So saying weird things that don't make sense, or saying they're seeing things that aren't there for you to see as well. So they might be hallucinating or a bit delusional, thinking things are not what is actually happening.
So when you spot this, how do you then manage it? Because clearly you don't want to panic the person, and they must be difficult to relate to and to talk to. They're not obviously in a good space. So
correct.
You're a nurse who has to manage it. You must know how to do it. How do you do it?
So if you could get them to the doctor, that would be a great thing.
Okay.
If you can't,
GP.
However, if you think it's a bit more severe than that, if you're thinking they're really not well, take them straight to emergency. And you don't have to be right. You just have to be concerned, because the first clue that you see may be the only clue that you notice for a little while before it can get worse. So you want to get them to the doctor. The doctor's going to do an assessment, and they're going to look through everything that could possibly cause it. And typically, infections, talking urinary tract, infections, pneumonia, dehydration, and you might see it. We see a lot of people coming in after a fall, but they might have had a urinary tract infection before that. And so it's a bit of delirium in the mix due to the infection that could bring them in.
You're a specialist in this area as a cognitive nurse, so I can understand if I turn up at the SAN that they're going to listen to me if I say, I think my mother or father's got a cognitive problem here. There's a bit of delirium going on. But if I go to a normal emergency department in a busy public hospital, are they going to go look at me a bit weird?
Hopefully not.
And hopefully. That's the key word, hopefully.
Well, I work at the SAN, so, yeah. But I'm sure, because across the country, the delirium clinical care standard has been provided for all medical facilities to standardise their care. So when you come into any facility around the country, you should get a cognitive screen done on yourself by the staff, and that's looking at an age bracket, and don't be offended, of 65 and up. So it's wide.
I'm 64, so I'm not offended. Not offended yet. I'm not getting yet. Close.
So the reason
lucky
for that.
You picked 65.
The reason for that is so that we have a wide screen because it is insidious. You can miss it, and we don't want to miss it if we possibly can.
So explain to me, I know you're making these activity blankets. You got one there. Show me what.
Sure.
What's the purpose of these?
Yeah, so just following on of what you can do to help treat and prevent delirium, mm-hmm. non-pharmacologically, non-medical background, just as a family member. You yourself can help your loved one by talking with them on the phone, visiting them as often as possible, bringing in familiar items, helping keeping routine. Being there for mealtimes is great. And one of the things that we have at the SAN is these activity blankets. So this is a project which we've been doing for a number of maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. It's about a blanket that sits on your lap. It's 60 by 40 centimeters.
About the size of a laptop.
Yeah, this one is a bit small, I have to say.
Yep.
So it's got a number of tactile activities on it. You can probably hear a bell there.
Yeah.
There's some tassels, buttons, mm-hmm. zips, Velcro, what have you. That's to
How's that help?
Well, that's a good question. So this thing works by putting on your lap, and it distracts them from pulling at, say, a catheter in the
yep.
bladder,
okay.
or an IV line that's giving you IV fluids to rehydrate you, or antibiotics to treat that infection, pain relief medications, etc. So there's a number of benefits. Sure, it doesn't work for everybody, but it does help a lot of people. And of course, that's a one person.
Who's putting them together for you?
We've got some
volunteers.
Really nice people. You said it, volunteers. And so volunteer sewers, they come from our volunteer cohort. We also have secretaries and their mums making it, nursing staff sharing it with their church groups. So we do appreciate the help we get with making these, because it's one blanket per person due to infection control.
So if anyone listening to us would like to spend some time making one of these blankets, is there somewhere they can look it up online so they can get an idea of what they're like?
Absolutely. So you could look this up on Dementia Australia website.
Mm-hmm.
You could also look it up on our website and get our details of how you can pick up a pack or bring one in already made that you've made of a activity blanket.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great thing for someone to do.
It's very lovely.
Marlita, thank you for coming in. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Steve.